Today's shir is Masechta Erevin, Daf Tzadik Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. Teaches us the Gemara Amar Belazar, Hamoitzi Tcheles B'shok. If somebody finds Tcheles in the street, Lishonis, if he finds them in strips, Psulis, they may not be used for the mitzvah tzitzis, for we need to be concerned that they were not dyed L'shem mitzvah tzitzis. If you find them chutim, however, if you find them threads, then they're ksherim. The Torah Kedosha teaches us in the parasha of tzitzis. V'asalam tzitzis ha'kaf evideim l'dairosam, v'nosnu al tzitzis ha'konof psil tcheles. The Torah tells us that we have to put these strips, these strings of wool on the corner of our begodim. And the Gemara Masechta Menachos, daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, teaches us that we put white threads and blue threads. Before you dye those threads to be the tcheles threads, the halacha is that they used to wash them and comb them. And the halacha is that when we make tzitzis, they have to be made l'shma. Because the pasuk says, Gedilim, Tas l'cha, and the Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Tes Amud Aleph says l'cha l'shem chayvach. So that's why when we find these threads on the street, we need to be concerned: were they made l'shem mitzvah tzitzis? Ask the Gemara. So mashna l'shoynus. Why? Ask the Gemara. Why? When you found the strips, do we have to be concerned? That meaning, why when we find the l'shoynus, do we have to be concerned? That he maybe made it just to make it part of his garment. So has the Gemara, when you find them in the form of chutin, when you find them as threads, why not have the same concern that adopted the glimut avinu, that they were made just to be part of the garment, and therefore they weren't made l'shma, and therefore they can't be used for the mitzvah? Answers the Gemara that they're spun together, and since they're twisted together, usually when they made threads, they don't twist them. And here, the fact that they were twisted is a raya that they were made l'shem tzitzis. As the Gemara explains, the halacha is that the threads that are used for the tzitzis have to be spun together. The way we know it is because we learn a gzeir shava, tcheles, from the Mishkan. And just like the tcheles that was used in the Mishkan was shazer, was twisted, so too is the halacha that the tcheles that's used for the tzitzis must be shazer. And normally, when people work with threads, don't twist them. Ask the Gemara, that's not necessarily true. Shazurim nami neima, even if you found them twisted, adapted the sister the glima afinu. Maybe they were twisted because that's the way they used to put them on the border of their clothing as a decoration. So what's the point? How do we know that it was made l'shma? Answers the Gemara, b'mufsakim. They were cut into short pieces for the tzitzis. When you use them for decorating the clothing, they're longer. Says the Gemara, the kula hai vadi lo tarchi inchi. Nobody's going to trouble themselves to take the short threads and then put them on the border of the garment. So the fact that they're this size is a raya that they all were made l'shem tzitzis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, this concept is the fact that somebody went to trouble to do something, an indication one way or another, is actually a machloikis. It should be discussed from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "V'chi adam terei chlasis kamei kamei tefillin." Our Mishnah, the Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the Medvar Mamurim, as we began our perek, the halacha is that if you find tefillin on the street on Shabbos, so because of saving the tefillin, the halacha is you're allowed to wear them into your home. But the Mishnah said, "B'medvar amurim." When was that said? Be yishanus. old tefillin, that it's obvious that they were made l'shem tefillin. Ava b'chadoshes, but if they're new tefillin, so there's no indication, as we were going to see in the Gemara, that they were made l'shem tefillin. There we have to be concerned that they're not tefillin, they're only a kameya, and the leniencies that we've given to tefillin would not apply there. So the same. So we see that a person's going to go out of his way to make a kameya just that looks like tzitzis, that looks like tefillin. So here too, maybe somebody's going to make threads of tchelis that look like tzitzis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeir lahava b'rei, prick puk tonilahu, go out and answer them, hamoitzi tchelis b'shuk, they find tchelis in the shuk, l'shoynis psulim, chutim of sakim ksherim, l'fisha ein odim tereach. That the Brisa corroborates my position. Amar Rava, so Rava says, "Mishum the tunnel, I have braid Reb Zera, because I have braid Reb Zera taught his son this brisa, klipi talala. It's like you put jewelry around it. If he would have explained why he's saying it and give us a solid halachic basis, I would accept it. But without that, what's the basis? Vatanan, because again, he asked the question from our Mishnah, where our Mishnah clearly indicates." When is the halacha that tefillin you could carry in? Be yishanis, bechadoshes potter. Even though it's a big tircha, it's not simple to make tefillin. Says the Gemara, Elam Rava, Tarach v'lo Tarach. This subject, will somebody trouble themselves to do something when it's not easy to do and there's no reason to do it? It's not a mitzvah. It actually says the Gemara Tanoihi, a machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya, the Brisa says, "Amoitzi tefillin." If somebody finds tefillin out in the street on Shabbos, machnisin zog zog, he should take in one pair at a time. And continues the Brisa, "Echad ish vechad isha." This halach applies both to men and women. "Echad chadoshes vechad yishanes, new or old." Divrei Rameyim. Rabbi Yehuda oisa b'chadoshes, by new tefillin which are not obviously tefillin, he says you may not. Umata b'yishanes. Old tefillin, the fact that they look like tefillin, is a raya that they are tefillin. Alma, what do we see from here? Ma'asov et tarachinish. The Tanakhama is, the Yehuda is of the opinion that a person is going to go to the trouble of making a kameya that looks like tefillin, even though it's not easy to do so. Well, ma'asover, and Ramey's opinion is, the loy tarachinish, that if a person made something that looks like tefillin, it must be tefillin. Because nobody would go through the trouble of making something so complicated if there was no halachic reason, if there's no reason to do it. Says the Gemara, Simon, Atzbi Simon. Shitzi Atzbi Simon. Ask the Gemara, the Hashta the Tana. But now that we learned Avud Shmuel Barav Yitzchok, he taught us the following braises. Eli Yishonis. So how do we determine? The Gemara is going to now discuss what are Yishanus and what are Chadoshus. So says the Brisa, Eli Yishanus, what is considered tefillin Yishanus that everybody will agree they may be brought into the home on Shabbos in the various methods that we have been discussing? Kol Shesh ben Ritzuas or Mekusharus. If they have Ritzuas and they're tied together like tefillin are supposed to be tied together, the tefillin are supposed to be tied together with knots that make the word shakai. Chadoshes, what are considered tefillin chadoshes? Yesh ben ritzuas, that they indeed have the ritzuas v'loy mikishoris, that they're not tied together. And even if it's noticeable that they did, that at one point they were tied together, still, you're not allowed to tie them together. And we're going to see why. Because says the Gemara, the Kula Al. So what do we see from here? That the reason you're not allowed to put him, you're not allowed to take him in, has nothing to do with Tarachinish or Loi Tarachinish. Everybody agrees Loi Tarachinish, that people don't bother. The issue here is that you're not allowed to tie tefillin on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Ula Envi Me'enif. So you're not allowed to make a kesher. We've discussed extensively that on Shabbos you're not allowed to make a knot. But ask the Gemara, why not make a bow? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chizda, Zoy Sameris. The reason the Brisa doesn't suggest that if you find tefillin that are not tied together, that it's clear that they are tefillin. But the problem is, if they're not tied, there's a issue of ksira. Why not make a bow, which is mutter? Is a raya that a neva psula b'tefillin, that using a bow to make tefillin is not acceptable. And as we need to understand, in yesterday's shiur we learned that the reason you're allowed to wear the tefillin into the home on Shabbos is because it's a tachshit. When a tefillin a tachshit? Tefillin are a tachshit when they are the way they're supposed to be, which is when they're tied together. Making a bow is not what the Torah wanted. Abaye gives a different teretz. He's saying Rabbi Yehuda Tamei. Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his opinion that holds a neva kshira mal yisahi, that a neva is a full-fledged kshira, and since a neva is a full-fledged kshira, you may not do it on Shabbos because it's in the same category as kshira. So says the Gemara, tama da neva kshira mal yisahi. So what we're learning from here is that what is the concern? Because making the bow is making it into a full-fledged kesher. Halav hachi, if I wouldn't have had this problem, onavlei, I would make a bow and take them in. Says the Gemara, how could you suggest that making a bow will be kosher tefillin? V'amar Yehuda b'reid Rav Shmuel b'sheilus b'shmei d'rav, kesher shetfillin alochel mashim sinai hi, that you have to make it into a knot and not into a bow. V'amar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman in explaining this Gemara says, v'noveyen, when you make the shakai, the shin of shakai, tzorch has to be labar, has to be outdoors. So how could the Gemara have suggested that you make a bow? A bow is not the way tefillin are made. If it's not the way tefillin are made, it's not a kosher tefillin. Answers the Gemara, what was meant to be said was the on of like kain kshira d'du. You would make a bow in the same fashion as you make a knot. And since it's made in the same fashion, it would be acceptable because you did what was required. So we explained that Navoim Labar is talking about the shin on the tefillin. According to that explanation, it really has nothing to do with what we're learning in our question about the knot. Just since the Gemara was speaking about how tefillin are made, the Gemara mentioned this halacha as well. Others say that the name labar is when you make the knot and you use the ritzuas to make the knot, you should use the ritzuas should be with the black side, the shiny side, towards outside. That's the way the Magen Avraham explains it. And now, even though it isn't directly related to our Gemara, but since our Gemara is speaking about the knot of the tefillin, it makes sense that the Gemara should teach us some more halachas regarding those knots. The Brisker Rav says that even though our Gemara is teaching us that the kesher of the tefillin is halacha l'moshe Sinai, the halach is that what we're learning from here is that they're ksharim and not oisius, that they're considered knots and they're not considered oisius. So our Gemara, also the Arzarua says, the Paiskim say from here our Gemara says that the halacha of making, the isra of making a knot doesn't only apply when you make a knot of two separate objects, but even if you take one object, one strip, one string or whatever, and you make a knot, it's still considered making a knot. Because what happens when we have the knot of the tefillin? It's only one knot, and still the Gemara is still considering it making a knot in our Gemara. There's a very big machlokes rishonim. We know every day we say the parasha of tefillin, and we say ukshatim lois, and Rabbeinu Eliyahu, his opinion is that you have to tie the knots of the tefillin every day. We know that we put on the tefillin every day, and we don't reconstruct them. we just make, we take the existing tefillin and we wrap them around our hand and around our head. Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, no, the Torah says, ukshatim lois. What does the Torah mean with the words ukshatim lois? You have to make a knot. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and he says that the tefillin, as we put them on, should be put on, not making a new knot. Rabbeinu Tam uses our Gemara as a raya, because our Gemara says that what's the concern of bringing in tefillin that aren't knotted together? Because you may, yeah, could only wear them, carrying them in by wearing them. And when you wear them, you if they're not knotted together, chadoshes, you're going to have to make a knot. And the Gemara goes into explaining why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be the melacha of kosher. But he asks, if Rabbeinu Eliyahu is correct, so then the kesher of the tefillin is not a kesher shakayama. When we learned Masechta Shabbos, we learned that the only time making a kesher is considered a kesher that's also in Shabbos is if you make a kesher shakayama that it has permanence to it. If every day I have to undo it, then it's not a kesher shakayama. It's a raya that we don't make a new kesher every day. Now the question is, so what's going to be if somebody makes a kesher on his tefillin that's not a kesher shakayama? According to Rabbeinu Tam, based on what we're learning in our Gemara, the kesher of the tefillin has to be a kesher shakayama. So the Avnei Nezer discusses, in the Shalos Tshuvos Avnei Nezer, Oir Chaim Simon Kuf Pei Gimel, that the kesher of the tefillin has to be a permanent kesher, and you can't do it and undo it. So he says, based on this, that the people that, let's say, don't have a pair of tefillin available, so what they do is they take somebody else's tefillin with permission, and they, oh, but it's not to the size of their head. So what do they do? What they do is they untie the knot and they make it to the size of their head. And then when they finish davening, they put it back to the right size of the person who owns those tefillin. But it says, the Avnei Nezer, that means it's not a kesher shakayama because it was made to take back to the old size. And we just learned that according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to have a kesher shakayama. So the Taz and Simon Kuf Yud Zayin agrees with Avnei Nezer. The Bi'a Halacha disagrees. He says that when we speak about the kesher of tefillin, it's not the permanence, it's the style. So when somebody borrows somebody else's tefillin, yes, they're going to be making a kesher and then undoing that kesher immediately. But the style of kesher that he made was the same style of kesher. Since it's the same style of kesher, that's enough to make it a kesher shakayama. But the Shem Shmuel, the Avnei Nezer's son, says that his father, who took this strict approach, only was referring to a situation where he completely undoes the knot. So somebody completely undoes the knot and then does the knot again and to make the knot to his size and then ties it again, that's considered a kesher. That is considered, not according to Avnei Nezer, that it's not considered a kesher shakayama. But if it's in a situation where you're not completely untying them, completely undoing the knot, you're just loosening it in order that you should make it up to size, and then you're going to just adjust it. So since the original knot was never really undone, and you're just readjusting it, that isn't going to be a problem, even according to the Avnei Nezer. So says the Shem Shmuel. And Vosna also quotes this in the Shalos Tshuvos Chelek Hei Simen Dalad. Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal and the Shalos Tshuvos Mishnas Micha Shloima Chelek Beis Simen Beis says that we're not machmer for Avnei Nezer. He says there's two types of kesher shakayama. One is if somebody makes a knot, knowing that I'm not going to need that knot for a long time. like Rabbeinu Eliyahu's opinion, that every day when they took off the tefillin, that they would undo the knot and do it again. That's considered a kasha shena kayama. The situation that somebody made a kasha on his tefillin, and then he meant to keep it permanently, and then somebody went and adjusted it, doesn't mean that what he's doing is not considered a kasha shena kayama. Because if I was going to keep these tefillin, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I'm not keeping them because they don't belong to me. But if I was going to keep them, I would leave them the way they are. That's enough, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that it should be considered a kasha shena kayama. Says the Gemara. In introducing this Gemara, the Gemara Masechta Menachos, that Mem Beis Amud Beis teaches us that tefillin should be bought only min amumcha. And Tosfos Divrei Hamaskel HaLoikeach explains there that the reason we have to be careful to buy tefillin only from an expert, because if we're going to buy it from an individual who's not an expert, so when before we'll be able to wear the tefillin, we're going to have to break them open in order to inspect them. That involves a bazillion to the tefillin. And furthermore, there's a concern that somebody may not do that, and he's going to rely on whomever he bought the tefillin from, that it's considered that it's good. But what happens if somebody did buy tefillin from somebody who's not a mumcha? Or there's no mumcha available from whom to buy tefillin. So now the concern is, what should I do? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Amar Rav, Halakeach tefillin mamisha ein mumcha. If you purchase tefillin from somebody who's not a mumcha, Boidik shtayim shal yad, take two pashas, two tefillin shal yad, Vacha shal roish, and one tefillin shal roish, and be boidik them. Oy shtayim shal roish, Vacha shal yad, or take two tefillin shal roish, and one tefillin shal yad, and check him. Of course, you have to check all the parashas that are in all the tefillin. So in the tefillin shel yad, all the parashas are in one cloth. In the tefillin shel roish, they're in separate pieces of parchment, and you're going to have to check each one separately. What you have to do is check, says Rashi and Tosfos both explain, that you have to check the b'chaseris or yaseris, if all the words are spelled properly, you have to check that the letters are written properly. Ask the Gemara, Manushach, what's the purpose for going through this process? If he bought all of them from one individual, take three tefillin shel yad or three tefillin shel roish, and you'll have a chazakah that they're fine. If you bought them for many individuals, call chad v'chad, every pair of tefillin, liboy bedika, should require its own bedika, because each pair of tefillin might have been written by different people, and since it might be written by different people, therefore we don't know, just because one person is proven to be a mumcha, how do we know that the other one is a mumcha? Answers the Gemara, lo'olam michad gav rezavin, we are speaking that we bought it for one individual. We have to know that this person is an expert both in writing tefillin shel yad and in writing tefillin shel yosh. However, even though we're looking to make sure that this person is indeed an expert, we don't have to check three tefillin shel yad. We don't have to check three tefillin shel yosh. By checking three tefillin, even though they're not the same tefillin, one shel yad and shel yosh, that's enough to establish that a chazaka, that this person knows what he's doing. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that indeed the halacha? V'tanu Rav Shmuel b'tefillin boidik shol shayad v'shol roish. You have to check three. My laugh. And the Gemara assumes, what does that mean? Oy shol shayad, oy shol shol roish. That three shol yad and three shol roish is enough. Says Gemara loy. You have to check sholish. You have to check a total of three. Some have to be shol yad, Mehen shel yad, mehen shel roish, to make sure to determine that this person is an expert both in shel yad and shel roish. Ask the Gemara, v'tani Rav Kahana, there's another brisa, b'tfilin boidik shtayim, by tfilin you boidik two, shel yad v'shel roish, one shel yad v'shel roish, which is automatically difficult because we said you have to check three. Answers the Gemara, Harmani, who this brisa that second you check two represents the opinion of Rebbe. The The Gemara Masechta Yevamos Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis quotes the Machlokes of Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. And how many times is a chazaka established? There, the Gemara is referring to a situation where a woman got married to a man and he died. There are many different details to this halacha, not the subject of our shiur today. And the husband died, and then she married another man, and again her husband died. Now the question is this woman considered a katlonis? That the halacha is that if a woman is considered a katlonis, she may not get married again. So the question is, how many times must she be married to get established to be considered a katlonis? Rebbe says twice, because Rebbe's opinion is that a chazaka is established after two times. Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is three times, because a chazaka is only established after three times. So this braisa that says that you only need to check two boxes, one shayat and one sharosh, says the Gemara is following the opinion of Rebbe, who holds that a chazaka is established with two times. Ask the Gemara, if we want to explain that this braisa is following the opinion of Rebbe, Ema Sefer, let's continue learning the Sefer. The braisa says further, became tzevus sheni, so too do you have to do with the second bundle of tefillin, became tzevus shlishi, and so too do you have to do with the third bundle of tefillin. V Rebbe, but if we're saying that this braisa follows the opinion of Rebbe, shlishim is miyislei, does Rebbe say you ever have to check three to establish a chazaka? We just explained that Rebbe's opinion is that a chazaka is established after two times. Answers the Gemara, Maida Rebbe b'tzfasim, that when you're checking bundles, then you have to check each bundle individually. For we need to be concerned, the metreikel trosu gavri sozoven. Each one of the bundles came from a different supplier. And just because one cipher has been established to be a mumcha, he maybe wrote that bundle. It has nothing to do with the other bundles. So we have to be machzik. We have to establish the kashrus of each bundle individually. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so then a chayachi afilu revii, afilu chamisha nami. So then even if you bought four or five bundles, the same halach ought to apply. Says the Gemara, yes, and a chanami. So why v'hadi tani shlishi? L'fuki m'chazakei. That Rebbe holds that a chazak is always established with two times. But as we just finished explaining, this is not a circumstance where regular hilchas chazak apply, because every bundle comes from a different supplier. Every bundle comes from a different cipher. So that's why, how did Rebbe express that the regular halachas of chazakah do not apply? By telling us that you should check even three bundles. But indeed, the halacha would be as many bundles. If they're bought from different suppliers, they need to be checked each one separately. Ulaylam and Echonami afilu reviv chamishinami. So we learned further, Matzon Tzvasin, the Mishnah said that if you found a large number of tefillin that are in heaps or kriches, you leave them there. But the Gemara wants to know, what's the difference? My tzvasim and my kriches. What's tzvasim, what's kriches? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, actually, hein tzvasim, hein kriches. They're the same, and the halach is the same. Just what's the difference? Tzvasim are when you found them zuve, each pair tied together and then put into a bundle. Kriches represents a situation, the krichen tuvin, the many tefillin are bundled together, but not made into individual pairs. We learned that when you have that many tefillin, you have all these bundles of tefillin, machshech aleihem u'meviim. He stays there watching them, and then he brings them back matzoy Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, v'mai, but why don't we follow the halacha that we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah? Le'elinu, zuge, zug, wear them pair by pair into the city. Answers the Gemara. Amar Yitzchak Reider of Yehuda Lodei Mefash Laminei the Abba. Kol she'ilu machnisen. If it's a situation where you could bring in the tefillin pair by pair, zug, the kol is kodesh shkiyas achama, and you're going to finish doing all of this before Shabbos ends, then indeed the halach is machnisen zug, bring them in pair by pair. If you lie, but let's say there's so many pairs of tefillin that even if you'll go back and forth all day, it won't work, then the halacha is machshech aleihem u'mevi'im. So Tosfos asks a question. We learned in our Mishnah and our Gemara today, this Tosfos, the Remaskel Matzon, that if you find them chadoshes, so we learned before that they can't be tied together, making the kshira on Shabbos is asur, that the halacha is, leave them there. Why shouldn't the halacha is, just like when you find them in bundles, that the Gemara just finished explaining, since it's so difficult to bring them all in, you're going to leave, you have to stay there and watch them. So chadoshes, the way we're learning now, are really tefillin. The only concern is that you can't make the kesher on Shabbos. So why shouldn't the halacha be the same halacha that you should be machshech aleihem? So Tosfos answers that by yeshanus, really what you should have done is wear each pair individually. The only problem is, as we just finished explaining, there's so many pairs, you won't be able to get them all in before Shabbos ends. So that's where Chazal said machshech aleihem. But in a situation where Chazal never gave us the rule of carrying them in zug-zug, they're chadoshes, and I can't tie them together, there Chazal never said the halachas of Shmira. The Ritva gives a different teretz. He says that if they're chadoshes, and he explains that what is chadoshes means, that they were never really completed, so something that isn't a full-fledged pair of tefillin, Chazal were not so concerned about the hatzol of those of that pair of tefillin as they were on a completely pair on a completely finished pair of tefillin. However, the Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says that the halacha actually is that even by chadoshes, the entire concern is that I can't wear them in because of Shabbos, tying them on Shabbos. I do have to be machshech aleihem. And actually, that is the psak of the Mishnah Brura in Simon Shin Aleph, Sif Katan Kuf Nun Zayin. He says that's the way the Gra understands our Gemara as well. Ubisakana, but the Mishnah continued teaching us that if it's a Shah Sakana, that you can't leave them there because it's Sakana, the Loch is Mechasin Vahoylich, cover them up and just go away. Ask the Gemara, but Tanya, but there's a different brisa that says, we know that on Shabbos, we're not allowed to carry anything in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Dalar Amos. However, Chazal said that even less than Dalar Amos we shouldn't carry, because we may come to carry more than Dalar Amos. But now our Gemara is saying that Basakana will waive the Din, the Rabbanon, and allow you to carry it, Pachs, Pachs, Mirba, Amos. Asked Gemara, isn't that different than what we learned in our Mishnah, that you just cover it and leave? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Lakasha. Habiskanas Nachrim, when the Sakana is that the Akum outlawed us from wearing tefillin. So if somebody is suspected of wearing tefillin, he could get into serious danger. The Mishnah says, cover them and leave. Habiskanas list them. But when the entire concern is just that there are all types of individuals on the road who may do something dangerous to the tefillin, so there it's not dangerous to be standing next to tefillin. So of course, what you're supposed to do is you should. There's no concern that you're holding tefillin, but you can't stand there because you're scared of the listim. So there, halacha is machnisim pachs pachs mi'arba amos. Amalei Abaya. So Baya asks to Rab, but Maya Kimtel Masnissen, how did you explain our Mishnah that says that you should cover them? But Sakonis Koyim, where the Akum made a rule that you can't wear tefillin, and now you're concerned to remain anywhere close to tefillin. Ask the Gemara, Amos Sefer. So if so, let's understand the continuation of the Mishnah. Shimon Omer, Noisn L'Chaveroi, L'Chaveroi L'Chaveroi, what you should do is make an assembly line of giving it from one person to the other person. Koshkein, so if you're going to have this assembly line of many people, and our Mishnah was saying is referring to a situation where it's dangerous for a Jew to be holding a pair of tefillin, this is the worst thing you could do. Af Shemilsa, there's going to be so much publicity around these tefillin. So says the Gemara, Chasur Mechzer Achitani. But Medvar Mamurim, this is the way we have to learn the Mishnah. But Medvar Mamurim, that you should just cover the tefillin and leave, Besakaras of the Gilim, where it's dangerous for you to be standing next to the tefillin. Abu Sakaras Listim, if it's a situation of Sakaras Listim, there, the Allah is Melechim, Pachs, Pachs, Abrahamis, carry them less than Abrahamis at a time. Why? Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon teaches us in the Mishnah that if that's the situation where there's no danger of being caught holding tefillin, then noisim chaveroi lechaveroi, and so on. So says the Gemara, but my Kamilski, what is the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon? Masover, the Tanakhama holds, pochs poch me'aba amas odif, you're carrying the tefillin, you can't, whatever the situation, you can't wear them in. So now the question is, what is the lesser of two evils? The Tanakhama holds that carrying him by yourself, pochus mi arba amis, is preferable. For you, if you're going to say that you should make this assembly line of giving it to many people, after Milsa the Shabbos, it's going to be public that there's a Chil Shabbos, and it's going to cause a Chil Hashem by carrying it this way, that people are going to see that people are carrying on Shabbos, and they're not going to realize that it's being done for tefillin. They're not going to realize it's being done in this very specific manner. Pachs pachs midalar amos. Umar saver, whereas Rav Shimon holds, nois lechaveri adif. It's better to give it to your chaveri, because your suggestion, says Rav Shimon to the Tanakhama, the amrit malichim pachs ma'arba amos, to keep on carrying it less than arba amos at a time, zimnin de lava datayu, somebody is not going to pay attention, and he's going to forget himself. He's going to carry it more than an amos in Rishus Rabbim, which of course is Asur. The Bia Alocha and Simon Shin Memtes Sif Gimel Divrei Maskel V'Chaveroi says the pointer of Shimon that he's saying that when we have people, a person carrying it itself, there's a concern that he may carry it more than Dalar Amis. So he says that, therefore, only when we have many people, so nobody's going to have to carry it more than once, is this halacha apply. There's going to be an assembly line. Every individual is only going to carry it less than Talar Amis at a time. And since every person is going to carry it less than Dalar Amis at a time, and he's never going to carry it more than once, that's where we're lenient. But if the same person, because we don't have enough people, is going to have to carry the tefillin more than once, then even Rav Shimon would agree that there's no point in the assembly line. The Prima Gadim disagrees. The Prima Gadim says that even if it's just two people, that Rav Shimon will still say it's better to carry it by passing it over from one to the next. There is less of a concern that we may come to carry it Dalar Amis. We learned further in the Mishnah, V'chein benoi, and the child is found in the street, and you need to get it into the home. The halacha is, you should give him with chaveri lechaveri. Ask the Gemara, benoi ben bayi hasam, what's the baby doing there? Answer the Gemara, the baby nasha talana, shoulder imsa b'shuk. His mother had the baby out in the street, and you don't want to leave it outdoors. Umay afilahei meya. What does the Mishnah mean, Afila Meir? Davgav the Koshla Yada. You're going to have so many people holding the baby. Afila Ochay Ha'adifa. It's better to do this than carrying the baby directly. But again, explain the Rishonim, that this is only according to the opinion of Shimon, who always says that having this, Rabbeinu Yonason explains this, having this assembly line is better than one person carrying it, Pachs Pachs, Midalar Amis. But the Tanakhama, according to Rabbeinu Yonason, will say here too, don't make it so public, and everybody should carry it, pox, pox, medalar amas. However, there are others that disagree, and here they say that according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to do anything. And they explain, if it's a situation of Chil Shabbos, so if it's a situation of a tzolos nefashos pikuach nefesh, leaving the baby out there, so then you could do whatever you need to do. If there is no pikuach nefesh involved, the Tanakhama, the Ritva says, would hold, leave the baby there. So here Al Gemara said that giving the baby from one baby, from one person to another, is kashla yada, is not good for the baby. The Shaz Chuvas Mishnah Halachas, Chelik Yud Beis, Simikuf Ayin Zayin, discusses that there are those that have a bris, that those by a bris that have a minig, that they want to give kibudim, they want to give honor to people who are attending the bris. So they do something which is called a chayka, that they take the baby, pass him from one individual to another individual. So he asks, maybe that shouldn't be done. Because our Mishnah says, our Gemara just said, that koshle yoda, that transferring a baby from one individual to the next is not healthy for the baby. So why should you be allowed to do that? So he answers that shayma mitzvah layeda davara, people are doing it for honoring a mitzvah, so they'll have a special shmirah. Another point he makes is that our Gemara is speaking about the day the baby was born. So on that day, when the baby is born, we need to be specifically concerned that the baby is very sensitive and not too many people should be holding on to the baby. When the baby's already 8 days old, it's less of a concern. Another point that he makes is that when we transfer the baby from one individual to another individual by a bris, he explains that the baby is not being held. It's not just you're holding the baby. You're holding the baby on a pillow or whatever the baby is on. So since you're not directly holding the baby, it's less of a concern. But Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Urbach, in discussing this whole kibbutz of chayka, says that the whole point of the chayka is only if the people who transfer the baby help in bringing the baby closer to the chair where the bris milah will take place. But if when you hold the baby doing a chayka, you haven't brought the baby any closer to the makam of the bris milah, that isn't considered anything. You haven't really accomplished anything. The whole point of the chayka is that you participated in bringing the baby closer to his bris milah. If that didn't happen, then it's a meaningless act. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Nice to Adam Chavis, a person could give a barrel of water to his friend, and his friend to his friend, even if it ends up that the barrel ends up being past the tchum of the owner." Ask the Gemara of Alesle Rabbi Yehuda, what we've learned, L'hod HaTanan, HaBehem of HaKelim, when we speak about animals or Kelim, Karagli HaBalim, that they're limited to the tchum of the owner. So if they're limited to the tchum of the owner, how could the Kelim be transferred past the tchum? Answers the Gemara, past the owner's tchum. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Shlokish, Mishim Levi Sova, Hachim Ma'eskinen, B'ma'aron Michavis L'chavis, you're pouring the water from one barrel to the other barrel. Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, is consistent with his opinion. Domar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Maim Ein B'mamish. Water doesn't have any significance. It's talking about a Mishnah Masech Tebeya. The Mishnah Masech Tebeya discusses a woman who borrowed water and salt from a friend on Yontif in order to make a dough. The Tanakhama of the Mishnah says that the movement of the dough is restricted to the tchum area of both women, because since there are different ingredients in this dough, so every owner's ingredients are limited to that owner's tchum. So Rabbi Yehuda, however, holds that the water is not significant, because water, he says, doesn't really count, that the owner of the water's tchum should make a difference. The Tanan, as the Mishnah indeed in Masech Tebeya teaches us, in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Poita B'mayim, there's no issa tchum on water, nay, she'en b'mamish, that not considered significant. Ask the Gemara, Umay, what the Rabbanim mean when they said to Rabbi Yehuda, loy tahalach zu? What did they mean when they said those words in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, what they meant to say was, loy halach mab shebezu yosim ragli balim. They said, you can't move the water past the owner's tchum, of the owner of the water.
Asked the Gemara, even though Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, as we just said, holds that water is insignificant, but asked the Gemara, aim at the Shamadai Rabbi Yehuda. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that water is insignificant? Hechen de blim be'isa. When you have a dough made up of many different ingredients, so the water itself is insignificant. But our Mishnah is speaking about the water is by itself. Hechen des de mai be'enayu mishamadai. And says the Gemara, hashta. B'kadeira am Rabbi Yehuda. When you have a pot of cooked food, Rabbi Yehuda says, loy batli, the water does remain significant. B'nai batli. Certainly when you only have water, Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that it's significant. Where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that way? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, mayim u'melech b'teilim b'isa. Indeed, if you have a dough, the water and the salt are considered insignificant. However, v'ein b'teilim b'gdeiru, when you're cooking a pot of meat, for example, so you have the roitvoy, the gravy of the meat, are significant, and therefore you can't just say that the water is insignificant. So therefore we have to give a different interpretation of the Mishnah. It says, Olam Rav HaKam B'chavish Kotzah Shvisa. The barrel has a tchum, U'mayim Shloi Kotzah Shvisa. We're talking about water that wasn't Kotzah Shvisa. Nobody owned that water. Nobody owned this water before Shabbos began. The bottle chavis legabemayim. So since nobody owned the water before Shabbos began, so as we discussed earlier in the Masechta, when nobody owned the water before Shabbos, the tchum of the water begins with whoever picks it up, and the barrel that did have ownership, says the Gemara, the bottle chavis legabemayim becomes secondary to the water. Where do we find this concept that something becomes secondary? Ketnan. The halacha is that if you carry somebody who could walk himself, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph, teaches us you're not chai for carrying. Why? Because there's a concept of chai noises atzmai. There are two ways the Rishonim explain why you're not chai for carrying somebody who could walk himself. One explanation is, because in the Mishkan, who we learn all the halachas of Melacha from, everybody who could walk by himself was not carried. So that becomes the model for the Melachas of Mishkan. That's a difficult pshat, because once there's a Melacha of carrying in the Mishkan, it doesn't have to be exactly identical to the way it was in the Mishkan. So the way most Rishonim explain why Chai Noises Atzmai is if somebody is able to walk by himself, so they participate, even if they're being carried, they're really participating in being carried. So it falls into the category of Shnayim Shasua. It's not I carried this child who could walk by himself or myself. He participated in it. So now let's say you're carrying out such an individual and he's laying on a bed. So not only are you potter on the person, you're potter on the bed as well. Afal mita. Neshamita tefillin loy. Because the bed is considered secondary to the person. Hamotzi oichlin. So if you take out food, and then when we learned Masechta Shabbos, we learned quite extensively the shear of every food, of every object, what is the shear to be chayiv for carrying. So we learned Hamotzi oichlin, if you're carrying out food, pachs mekishir bekeili, less than the amount that you chayiv for carrying that food, and you carry it in a vessel, potaf akeili, neshe keili tfeililai. And our Mishnah too, even though the barrel has a tchum, the water didn't have a tchum, and the barrel is secondary to the water. Masav Rav Yosef asks Rav Yosef this. It says in the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'Sheyara, if we're standing out in a caravan where it's in an open field where it doesn't have water, so the halacha is Nois Adam Chavis L'Chaveroi V'Chaveroi L'Chaveroi. So we see that Yehuda only gave us this heter b'sheyara when we're out in the field with no water available. Shloi b'sheyara loy. In our Mishnah, it seems that Yehuda holds that not all circumstances we may do so. Elam Rav Yosef ki tenan b'sneisen. When our Mishnah taught us Rabbi Yehuda's leniency b'sheyara tenan, it's only out in the sheyara. Abaya has a different way of explaining how to reconcile everything. B'sheyara, in the case of a sheyara, I feel chavish shekonta shvisa, even if we have a barrel that had a tchum, or mayim shekonta shvisa, and the water had a tchum, will be lenient. Shloi b'shiyara, when it's not a caravan, chavish shekan shvisa. The only time we could be lenient is if the, even though the chavis was kanish visa, but if the mayim wasn't kanish visa, as we just finished explaining, you'll be able to pass it on. Now the Gemara offers another final explanation of Rabbi Yehuda's psak. Ravashi amahach b'chavis the hefker skinen, the chavis is hesker, or mayim the hefker skinen. And since everything is hefker, there is no concern of of tchum. Who is the one that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda? Or Matt Amrloi, who are those that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it represents the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that we learned on Daf Mem Hei that holds Cheftze Kaina Shvisa, and so wherever that water was at the beginning of Shabbos, that's where it is for the duration of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, so what did they mean when they said, Mailoi Talakzu Yosem Raglia Balim? It's Chefze Hefker. But Chefze Hefker, there is no Balim. Says the Gemara, what the Mishnah meant to say, the Chacham and the Mishnah meant to say, Lo Yelechu Elu Yosem Kelm Sheshlam Balim. Just like if they had owners, the owner, it would be limited to that Tchum, the Tchum of the owner. Here too, even though it doesn't have an owner, it still has a tchum. But the Rishonim point out, again, based on the Gemara that we learned on Daf Mem Hei, water which was flowing, everybody agrees, is not kind of shvisa. So the water that we're speaking about in this Mishnah is not from a flowing stream. Because water that's from a flowing stream, everybody would agree, is not kind of shvisa, and therefore could be there's no problem of tchum on such water.